Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome into the playbook for a Tuesday. Hashtag nitpick Tuesday. When is there ever a nitpick Tuesday when there really isn't anything to nitpick? That might be today. Because, frankly, I've been racking the brain today. And sometimes that doesn't take a whole lot of energy to do that. Thank you very much, Kevin. Kevin's on the mark today. But I just, you know, other than just a couple of real, you know... I don't even know how to describe it. They've got me at a loss for words. I guess that's a good thing, is it not? 51-23 over Chicago was a surprise, a pleasant surprise, no doubt. And this now sets the stage for an exciting week, a week where certainly the buzz will be heavy throughout, Patriot Nation everywhere, certainly right here in Foxborough and Gillette Stadium with next Sunday afternoon, 4:25 Eastern time kickoff with the right now, in my mind, the undoubted number one team in the NFL, and it's the Denver Broncos. But before we get there, there's a lot of ground to travel this week, and we will try to travel all of that with you here in the playbook throughout the course of the week. Now, a couple of things just to keep you in mind. As you're well aware, today is, and we've been talking about it for the good part of the last 2 weeks overall, and really dating back even more than that, really since this four-game win streak and resurgence has continued, primarily on offense for the Patriots. Today's the trading deadline at 4 p.m. Eastern time, which is in a little less than 2 hours from now. We are watching all of the feeds, so if you're trying to work, you might have us streamed. Perhaps you are downloading the podcast, and this is already old news. And for those of you that are listening to this program a little later on today or even tomorrow or later on down the line, you undoubtedly already know the news, so you'll just have to, you know, bear with us here because we try to treat this as live. And we'll try to, in fact, we will bring you the very latest as we get it. We're monitoring all of the feeds. We're looking at all the wires. We're looking at all the guys that would probably know. And if something happens before the trade deadline at 4 o'clock today, you're going to find out about it here first. And that's pretty much it. So go on about your business. Go on about your daily duties. We'll take care of you here. And then when there's news to be made, we will share it with you here right in the playbook. Now, let's start it off. First and foremost, by saying nobody got 51-23 last week in terms of the score. Kevin, is that a fair assessment? Nobody, yes, nobody even got close. Last week we had a contributor, a fan, I think it was he Twitter? I think he tweeted it. Missed by 1 point. Missed by 1 point. Didn't count. Nobody got close this week, and I suppose that's probably a good thing. Because if somebody had actually guessed 51-23 last week, then I would have, you know, sent for the drug test immediately. Long distance, sent for the drug test. But now I'm not so sure what the Patriots are capable of. Now that we've seen this happen for 4 weeks in a row, and I believe I said this a little bit last week, I was still waiting for this team to continue to try to prove themselves ever so slightly. I wanted to see it happen again against a team that, you know, was going to be going to have to play desperately, and Chicago really failed to do that in any stretch. But the Patriots did not, and so I think now that the Patriots seem to be getting things in gear offensively, it's reasonable to assume and to expect that barring any more injury situations on that side of the ball, this team is going to be able to put up points on just about everybody they play. Now, let's start out by saying the combined record of the remaining 8 teams on this schedule is 37-25. The previous eight teams have a combined record. I think it was, I saw today, of 18-31-1. And I saw that on Twitter today. And Richard Slate was the one I saw the number from. So, Richard, if you're listening, I'm giving you full credit for it because I retweeted your tweet today. And I think it's up on, I think I even put it up on my Facebook page in case you wanted to see the number. But let's see if I can find it. Did I find it? Did I find it at all? Can't find it. Okay. It didn't get up there today. But at any rate, I believe that you can tell just from the inference there that the schedule is going to get considerably more difficult here on out. In light of the fact that the schedule will be considerably more difficult, both on offense and on defense. You know, before the trading deadline, I still have my wishes. These are things that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, more specifically, even last week, looking at players. And last week, on the one-week deadline, it was a week ago today, we had 18 different names come into our coffers here. Via email, via Twitter, via Facebook, what have you, by telephone, of players that you would like to see the Patriots go after, potentially pick up to make this team better for the stretch run. I've kind of boiled it down now to two players that I think are obtainable. The wish list that we had of those 18 players in a perfect world, it came right down to Ndamukong Suh of Detroit. Now, Detroit obviously would have to be a willing trade partner, and certainly his name has fallen off the radar because Detroit is in the thick of things. In fact, they're, first place in the NFC North. So guess what? I don't think he's going anywhere regardless of what his situation is contractually after this season. That would be a gaffe beyond gaffes if Detroit were to decide to part with him. So gettable players, obtainable players that have sort of come to light over the course of the last week. It's boiled down to two, I really believe. And I'd like to know, of the two, which one you feel could best help New England right now at this moment. And I have varying opinions on both of these players. But both of these guys do seem to be in a position to help the Patriots out immensely over the final 8 weeks of the regular season, and maybe even more so once you get to the playoffs. Player number one is the player that his name came up a lot last week. In fact, I think he was number two or number three behind Ndamukong Suh amongst votes from the 18 different players we got votes from a week ago in our Nitpick Tuesday Patriots Playbook poll. And that is Tampa Bay wide receiver Vincent Jackson. Now, the rumors surrounding his availability have continued to swirl even more so over the course of the weekend since Tampa has, you know, basically checked out for the season. And the media reports out of Tampa aren't saying that the Bucs are ready to have a fire sale by any stretch. However, for the right price, a guy like Jackson could be had. Now, consider this. Vincent Jackson, overall, has got to be, well, first of all, even though he's not a primary target, I'm a little perplexed as why he might not be still that for Tampa. But here's a guy that, well, if you put him opposite, say, Brandon LaFell, you're talking about big size, big ability, toughness, speed, the ability to go up and get a ball, and then you got Gronk and Edelman underneath. I mean, that's what I would call Denver Bronco-ish. Wouldn't you? I mean, if you added Vincent Jackson to this offensive weaponry for Tom Brady, couldn't you make a case that Brady's weapons are every bit as potent as Peyton Manning's are in Denver right now? See, I think you probably can. Certainly based on potential alone, you can look at these guys and say, wow, who do you cover? How do you pick your poison? The only difference might be, I still think, and we'll talk more about him later this week, but the kid Hillman, who has taken over for Monty Ball at running back since Ball was injured for Denver, he's turned out to be quite the find. And right now, I'd have to give him a slight edge over what the Patriots have in the running back core, minus, of course, Stephen Ridley. But at the same time, what we saw out of Jonas Gray against Chicago on Sunday was a pleasant surprise, an eye-opener. He ran with strength, toughness, had burst beyond the line of scrimmage. They're going to give Jonas Gray every opportunity to be that every down back, keep Shane Vereen in his role in which he is most effective. You know, guys have built tremendous NFL careers, professional careers, off of knowing their role. What is it? That was the line that Rock said in the WWE, right? Know your role. I believe that was Rock. Was that not Rock? Kevin, do you follow the WWE at all? You don't follow it, right? Okay. I believe it was Rock that once said, know your role.
I just knew he was that whole, do you smell what the Rock is cooking
yeah,
or whatever,
see,
which never made sense to me because Rocks can't cook. My pet Rock never cooked me anything,
John. No, never did.
I mean, it could talk, but it couldn't cook.
It could talk, really?
Oh, yeah, I had many conversations with my pet Rock.
Really? Like what? Yeah.
About what?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we can get into that on the program. But, I mean, he was basically my only friend all the way up through, like, at least the fourth grade.
Okay.
Shares lunch with me, you know, all that type of stuff.
I'm sorry I asked.
talk about how Dad was never around to play catch with me and all that stuff, you know?
So you play catch with your Rock.
Yeah. The best part about playing catch with my Rock is you could use him to play catch with, too.
That's true. So it served a
multiple purpose. But Mom wasn't so happy about that, you know?
I'll bet that she was not.
Dangerous.
Yeah. And also all the little pebbles that it would leave behind, right? Clean up after your pet Rock cast.
No, those are just more friends for me, John.
He left pebbles. Okay, well, that was a digression that clearly was not worth the effort. Where's Scalavino when you need him?
Hey, that was a low blow.
Boom.
That was a low blow.
I know, sorry. It's all in good fun. All right, so where were we here? We were talking about Vincent Jackson. Yeah,
somehow all this Rock talk filled the phone lines, too.
Oh, well, that's amazing. It's just amazing. Look, here's the thing about Vincent Jackson. I think if the Patriots were to go get him, the Patriots on offense would be every bit the equal of what Peyton Manning has in Denver. Maybe with the exception of the running back core. That's how we got off the beaten path here. And that certainly would be one way that you could get by Denver, is just to literally outscore them. Now, the other person that I'm talking about that I think is gettable over the course of the next hour and 40 minutes before the trade deadline hits, and his name did come up, and he got some late sentiment in our poll 1 week ago today, and that's Justin Tuck of the Oakland Raiders. Now, Tuck, of course, as Patriots fans are fully aware, was a real pain in the arse to the Patriots in both of the New York Giants' Super Bowl wins over the last 10 years. And here's a guy that has a two-year deal. I think he's still got gas left in the tank, and I think he's already proven that this year. His numbers are not shabby this year. He's got a two-year deal valued at $11 million that would not be insurmountable for the Patriots to assume half this year, all of next year's deal. And the reason I say that is because we don't know what Chandler Jones' status is for this year. Last week, there were several reports that varied from Jones being out for a month to Jones being out for 6 weeks. And now this past weekend, our friend Jeff Howe, the Boston Herald, intimated that Jones might even be done for the season. Now, we don't know what the correct answer is because you know as well as I do that the Patriots play injuries extremely close to the vest. And unless you know Chandler personally and he's told you personally what his injury prognosis is, and I would even argue that he's probably stretching it somehow because he knows if it ever gets back to Bill Belichick and the Patriots, he's going to have hell to pay for it. But let's just say, play devil's advocate, let's just say, for practical reasons, he is out for the season. We've seen the latest injury reports come out and say the Patriots are, quote-unquote, hoping to have him back for the playoff run. Well, that would mean he's out for the rest of the regular season. And the Patriots would desperately, in my regard, they would desperately need somebody to put pressure on the opposing passers, especially, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, with the step up in competition and quarterback quality increasing at least twofold over the course of the next 8 games. So because of all of this, my own personal preference would be for right now to go get Justin Tuck. Because I think he'd be gettable. I think he'd add something to the equation that would make you feel a little better about the Patriots' ability to put pressure on an opposing quarterback. Keep in mind now, Silver Salinga is supposed to come back off of the IR. He was the one designee on the injured reserve / slated to return list. And the Patriots should get him back in, I believe it's a couple of weeks. But if you had him to help fill the gaps in the middle, and if you had Tuck to supply some pressure along with Ninkovich on the other side, you have Akeem Ayers to come in on passing downs, then I think you're talking about how the Patriots have bodies. If they're able to get Chandler Jones back, then, wow, you've got a pretty good rotation there. And you're really giving an opposing offensive line something to think about. The best offensive line in pro football this year has been the Dallas Cowboys. Anybody see what Washington did to Dallas's offensive line last night on Monday Night Football? It was extraordinary. They pinned back their ears and came after the Patriots and Tony Romo every which way you could possibly draw it up. And that offensive line, as talented as it is, just could never get it figured out, and it was a huge reason that the Redskins upset the Cowboys in Dallas last night. I, you know, would love to see something like that drawn up for Peyton Manning. You know, you've got, you know, pretty solid corners, physical corners, you know, in Revis and Browner, and if you trust your safeties to come over the top as well, then why not draw up something exotic that maybe the Broncos aren't expecting? Certainly gives you pause, does it not? Makes you think just a little bit, like, wow, we could have that. And I think you'd have that especially if you went out and got yourself another legitimate force on the defensive line and a guy like Tuck. All right, so do you have a wish? What's the best move? If those are the two moves to make, what's the best move? Are you offensive-minded or defensive-minded? Should they go and add to the weaponry and make the offense Bronco-like and maybe add a Vincent Jackson to the equation? Or do you go out and do you help your defensive line in your pass rush, not knowing, of course, what Chandler Jones' status really is, and maybe go out and spend the money on a Justin Tuck? Here's the key for both, what you give up in return. I certainly believe that Jackson, and I've seen several reports out of Tampa talk about this over the course of the last 24 to 48 hours. There's no way that I think the Patriots would give up a two for Vincent Jackson, nor should they. I think Jackson might be had for a four. Do you go for him if you can get him for a four?
I would all day.
I think so,
just
too.
Trade that pick anyway or draft someone who can't play.
No question. Draft somebody who can't play. Oh, what's Brian Stork?
The way it goes.
He was a four, wasn't he?
He hasn't proven anything to me yet.
Well, all I say is since he's coming and started at center, Patriots have had their best games in the offensive line.
Seen a lot
line.
Of false starts and illegal shifts.
He had
a holding calls.
He did have a couple of false starts, and he had a hold this last week. That's also true.
By the way, just
but I'm going to cut him a little slack because he's still a rookie. I'm talking about the solidification of this offensive line since he's come in and taken over the center position.
It's a quick housekeeping item, John.
Yes.
You know, some people that, you know, wanted secondary help at the start of the year had mentioned this name, and now it's officially off the mark. Champ Bailey has retired today. 15-year veteran, 12-time Pro Bowler, was with the Saints in training camp, was released, and I guess his chosen today kind of as the midway point of the season, the trade deadline, to officially hang him up.
Huh. Can't say that I'm surprised with that, to be honest
nope.
with you. Right?
But no doubt about it, he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. He will be. I think he will be. I think he's got an excellent opportunity to get there. Excellent opportunity to get there. All right, so Champ Bailey will not be an option here, although that would have been interesting, but that's not a need for the Patriots right now. So I'm going to let you choose between the two as we tick-tock the clock down toward the trading deadline in an hour and 34 minutes, give or take a few seconds, left here before the NFL trading deadline at 4 o'clock Eastern time today. That and your nitpicks. And let me share, you know, a big one, and then whatever else you have will add to the pile today. It was, as I first started the program today, very difficult to come up with nitpicks. When you score 51 on somebody, and your offense is humming on all cylinders, really tough to go with. But as Paul and I started to begin opining about at the top of the hour here, the red zone hiccup with a 7-0 lead late in the first quarter. They really could have dealt an early knockout blow to the Bears. Three runs gained a yard, illegal procedure backed it up five, and it was the hurry-up in the process, really, that just kind of seemed to get them out of sync more so than catch the Bears by surprise. So number one, they sort of outthought themselves. And number two, it does show the potential need, in my opinion, for a little help at running back in short yardage or red zone play. Think about that. Because a guy like Doug Martin from Tampa Bay, his name has come up in trade discussions as well over the course of the last several days. And maybe someone like him could be obtained to help the situation. Now, that's just an example. There weren't a lot of nitpicks, I got to admit. But I know that you will find them. I have two more that I will share. And if you haven't seen it, wrote about them today in the View From Above column here on Patriots.com. So make sure you check that out. You also need to check out, believe it or not. What was that?
That was me.
Oh. Was that our sounder for
breaking
news?
I was trying to open a piece of sound and the pot was open.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I was just going to say that, you know, the breaking news is if you check out the lifestyle page on Patriots.com, you're going to get the recipe today for Miss Robin's famous cranberry bread.
When news breaks, we break it.
Yes, sir. It's there in its full glory. PFW's, and of course, Pat's Radio Kevin, their favorite cranberry bread. The recipe is right there. Tells a little story about the cranberry bogs in our backyard. And so if you're interested in Robin's Berkeley cranberry bread recipe, check out the lifestyle page on Patriots.com. It's right there for you to see. And believe me, if you stick with it, and it's not rocket science, but you stick with it, it's really well done. The key, however, when it calls for 5 tablespoons of melted shortening, Kevin, you know what the key is here, right? Good old, good old fashioned 4-letter word starts with an L.
Let me give it away again.
Go ahead.
Lard.
Got it, baby.
Been accused of being called a lard ass.
Well, that's the key. That's the key. And actually, some lard is actually
not marmalade, straight lard.
No, not marmalade. Greg Marmalade, Rush captain. So it's on the website. On the website. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was kind of fun to do. And thanks to Brianna Palma, who's the editor of the Lifestyle page, for asking us to share so we could share it with Patriots fans everywhere. Good stuff. All right, so here you go. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number. Webradio@patriots.com, the email address, @JRBroadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook. On Facebook, spell the last name R-O-O-K-E. And if you haven't submitted a friend request, go ahead and do that. And then we'll accept that, and then you can post, and we can use the chat function during the program to talk a little Patriots, a little NFL football with you. Love doing that, and I hope that you'll take advantage of it. All right, as Kevin said, phone lines are jammed. So before we get to any kind of breaks here today, with your nitpicks and with your choice for improving the Patriots before the trading deadline. Justin of Virginia's been hanging on for a long, long time today, so you get to go first today. Justin, how's it going?
What is going on, John? You're doing good as usual.
Thank you, buddy.
For my choice, I'll go with Vincent Jackson and his wife. I think with Gronk where he is, Vincent Jackson where he is, I don't think defenses are going to know what to do. And that helps on a run, too, because I don't think anyone's putting 7 or 8 in the box with Tim right there, Gronk there, and Vincent Jackson on the outside. They're just not doing it.
That's right.
And that helps our run game. Plus, I think he's the deep threat we've been needing. And I honestly think our offense is better than the Broncos if we get him. And this is why. Because I think Gronk is unstoppable. I think Julius Thomas, there's some question if he's unstoppable, but Gronk is unstoppable. And Vincent Jackson with Gronk there might be unstoppable. Safeties, linebackers gravitate to Gronk. And with that happening, you can just lob it up to V-Jack. That stuff.
Listen, I got Justin, I kind of, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I really see it. And we talked about this again a little bit last week. It's a very intriguing possibility if you added him to this offensive mix. That's why I made the analogy that if he came in and joined this team, Brady now has Peyton-like weapons.
Yeah. But, yeah, I really think we need to get him. Really think we need to do it. And I think the guy is so good. I recognize that the defensive end is the bigger need, but he's so good that I just think it just throws the defensive end out the window, honestly, because no one's outscoring you. No one is.
Well, but
I think you're going.
Here's where I hold, pull up on the reins here a little bit. Because, you know, obviously, you know, teams do have to have representative defenses to win championships. And the old adage of defense wins championships is still appropriate, even in this day and age of supersonic offenses. It's a main reason why Denver did not win a year ago.
Yeah,
and that's what Denver went out and did and improved themselves to no end in this past offseason. And they did that. And so if you're in the, you know, the arms race with the Broncos, do you go get a receiver that puts you on an even keel with the Broncos, or do you go get a rush end that might at least have you on the same page as the Broncos?
But the thing with that is, I think as long as we got Revis and we can take away the number one wide receiver, I think we're at least going to be decent on defense. I think we are. But as for my nitpick.
Yes, sir.
I got a few for you. Jamie Collins with that weak tackle. Julian Edelman doesn't seem like the same player to me. Shane Vereen was inconsistent. That goal line stuff in the first quarter was really dumb. Browner and that stuff he did in the end zone where he, like, WWE dragged the guy to the ground. That was hilarious. That was... He caught the ball, too, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. You're right.
Dennard not even being active was bad.
I got to admit, Alphonso Dennard is starting to worry me. I don't know if he's going to succumb to the, I got an owie type of scenario or not. But I'm beginning to think he might be one of those players that doesn't know how to differentiate between playing hurt and playing in pain.
I think he's going down Brandon Bolden road. Mr. I'm never going to be active or whatever, but...
Might be. Justin, that's good stuff. Plenty of nitpicks right there. So clearly he's not entirely satisfied with 51-23. There's stuff there to nitpick on. That's good. Sean in Vancouver, you're up next in the playbook. Hey, Sean.
Hey, John, I got a few things. Yeah, I'd rather have Tuck. I'm a disagreement with your previous caller. And I really agree with the need. You know, we need to make sure that the pass rush is there. And I think Justin Tuck can also set the edge against the run. So running defense has been an issue for quite a bit this year.
Agreed.
But I believe a lot of it has to do with them playing the big nickel and thinking that, and rightfully so, that they have to take care of the pass. Now, in terms of Vincent Jackson, I don't even know if he's that good. I watched that Minnesota game, and V-Jax, like, he did nothing. They target him four times, and he dropped the ball a few times. And the Patriots have had problems bringing in free agents and bringing in perhaps talented, maybe not so talented draft picks at wide receiver. And it's hard for these people to grasp it. I don't want another Ocho Cinco. You know, he might have been finished at that time, but maybe V-Jax is finished. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't even know if they really need him. I think the Patriots' passing game is great as long as these guys stay healthy and deep threat.
Well, that's the big key, Sean, because
yeah.
I saw Tom Curran from CSNNE write about this as well. I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but he mentioned that, you know, what happens if, because the last couple of years, you have to take this in consideration, what happens if a guy like Gronk isn't around for the stretch run or the playoffs? Who becomes your go-to guy? And, you know, if you lose Gronkowski, how big of a bite out of the offense does that become? If you go and get a guy like Jackson, you still got a go-to guy that you can get to. A guy that can, as you suggest already, that can go up and get the ball. I would tell you that I think part of Jackson's problem is the fact that he's stuck on a 1-6, 1-7 team. And, you know, there's just not a whole lot of interest there for him. And that if he has a chance to play for a ring and get into the Super Bowl and actually win something, I think you'd probably see a little bit of interest in his part, on his part. So I just think that, you know, you have to plan for injuries. And I'm not sure that the Patriots' depth on offense is such that they aren't really skating on thin ice right now, that one more weapon might help them overcome any other injuries they could have.
Sure, and I'm not sure if Ajax is that weapon. I mean, he might not be. It's hard for me to really say, and I'm a little disappointed in his play, especially since I had him on my fantasy team. But
right.
The thing about it is, he's not going to be Gronk anyways. No one's going to be Gronk. You lose Gronk, yeah, your offense is quite diminished. But we have players on the Patriots who are not even playing. Dobson's not dressed. And our deep threat is Timms. I mean, the guy caught this amazing pass like 4 weeks ago with double coverage, and now nobody is bringing up their safeties. They don't even have to use them to open up the defense, because the threat is just there from looking at the tape from 4 weeks ago. So they're really good offensively, but defensively, and that's where our nitpicks, my nitpick would go as well, and my major nitpick is that hasn't been mentioned is covering the tight end, and Julius Thomas is a big concern for me this week. Who's going to be on him, and how are we going to limit the receptions that he gets? Because you know the secondary I think is great, but the Broncos have amazing weapons. And I also agree with your initial nitpick in terms of that second first and goal scenario. And my it's more the play calling, but it's not a real nitpick because they adjusted to it. They didn't do that again, and it's the fact that they decided to keep running, and when they know you could just pass it up and you're going to get a touchdown. It's going to be a lot easier against this Bears depleted secondary to do that.
I would rather them just, come with a heavy package and put two tight ends in there, and then also bring in Devlin and just pound the ball at him. I mean, linemen love to do that kind of stuff. They'd much rather do that than pass block. And so let's test that out, because I think you're going to need to be able to gain a tough yard like that when it comes to the stretch run in December and January. And I think you could work on that rather than trying to outsmart the other team by hurrying to the offensive line of scrimmage. And I thought the whole thing was just very ill-conceived.
Definitely, and I agree. I love Devlin. He's doing an amazing job. And I always think that, first and goal, you bring in that big package. You bring in the two tight ends and Devlin, and you try to run that first down. But then you leave that same personnel on the field for second down, and you do a play action, and Gronk catches the touchdown, and there you go.
Right.
You're fine.
Right. Agreed. I agreed. Sometimes you can just get sometimes you can just overthink it, and I think that was a prime example of overthinking things.
And the rest of the game, they realize, we don't have to overthink things with these Bears. They're not covering our receivers, our tight ends. We could just throw the ball on.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. All right, so you got to vote for Justin Tuck then, correct, Sean?
Definitely.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate that. Steve in Killeen, Texas. Hello, Steve.
Hey, John. In a world where the Patriots were left for dead, October 31st, Foxborough. Halloween won't be the only thing that's scary. Gronkowski and Chuck, let the horror begin. Anyway, John.
Hey, I like the voice, though. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I got the big movie voice.
That was good.
But, Chuck would be my vote, as Sean said. I think we have enough offensive weapons, and taking nothing away from Gronk, we made it through half a season without him last year, and, not that I wouldn't want him to be there, but I want Tuck to bring me the head of Peyton Manning, personally. That's just my own attitude on that one.
See, I kind of do, too. And I figure, Justin Tuck's one of those guys who have, that fits into that, if you can't beat him, hire him mold,
Exactly. And after the tattoo he gave Brady in the Raiders game, I definitely would love to see that unleashed on Manning, where he at least had that worry of a
Just saying, okay, man. I'm kind of there with you. I would not be sorry to see Jackson join the offense, considering the spark it would certainly give everyone. But if I'm really trying to think about winning a title, to me right now, there's more of a need for Tuck.
Well, and I'm thinking Tuck. We get Chandler Jones back, and Ninko being Ninko right now. If we get that combination of the three, John, and we get a decent pass rush, and Big Vince gets double teamed, the defense becomes even more stout, and Revis being Revis right now, letting him roam free.
I'm following with you. I'm following right there. Boy, and then you start to wonder, you start to play the what-if game. Man, what if Mayo doesn't get hurt? Now you're talking about this defense living up to some of that preseason hype that we all put upon it.
Yeah, and that's where the woo-hoo scary comes in. Prayerfully, if Gronk stays healthy, and you've got the upgrade with Tuck and Revis, and again with Chandler coming back, no disrespect to the Broncos, but it becomes very scary, and everything comes right through Foxborough, as I said.
Well, yeah, and even so, the beauty of this week is that Pardon me. Boy, choked up over that one. I know. I'm like, you know, I'm getting emotional and all choked up over this.
Got a little frog in my throat.
Yeah, at least. The beauty of all of this is that the road will go through Foxborough regardless of anything that has happened personnel-wise if you win this game on Sunday.
Absolutely. And then we listen to the four-letter networks talk about, you know, the Patriots being back. Well, they never win anywhere. This is what we do. And by now, they should have that figured out. And I'm just, you know, the juxtaposition of Miss Robin's bread and the evisceration of the Bears is just an awesome, awesome thing. I mean, it gets sweet, and hopefully with the Broncos falling to the Pats, it'll get sweeter.
Absolutely, Steve. I like the way you think.
All right, sir. Always good, John.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Steve and Colleen. Michael in Chicago up next in the playbook. Hey, Michael.
Hey, what's up, John? How's it going?
Good, buddy. So, a little bit easier to breathe for you since, you know, you don't have to worry about the Bears fans killing you?
Oh, yeah, man. It's all good. Remember, I told you, John, they were going to put 50 up on them.
Yeah, I think you were the one.
Remember, I told you. I told you 50 to 14. I got it wrong, but I was pretty close. But, yeah, I mean, I'd rather get Justin Tuck, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I think that's the last missing key, is a good pass rush with that secondary. Browner bring that physical nastiness. He was tackling people, man. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was out there hitting. I heard the pads.
Agreed.
You know, and I wouldn't even be mad if they bring in Doug Martin.
Right.
You know, I'm just really, really hyped up because it's Broncos weekend. And that guy took the words right out of my mouth last caller.
Sure.
I want Peyton's head. Hashtag I want Peyton's head. How about that one?
We'll try to work that into one of the shows this week. See if we can get that trending on Twitter.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with you. They need to bring the fire that they bring when Cincinnati came into your house. That's the type of fire they need to bring in on Sunday. They need to go after him.
Agreed. Well, that's the only way you're going to beat him. You know, it's going to be a quick drop. He'll go with a short passing game. You know, if he gets any kind of time, but that's how he's going to start nibbling away at the Patriots. And so he'll just kind of, you know, drive them slowly, methodically down the field. And unless somehow you can, you know, throw some kind of, rhythm breaker in there, you know, Denver's still going to manage to score their points. It's just whether or not can you outscore them. And so you got to figure out a way to slow him down somehow.
The only way to slow down Peyton is to get around his feet because he's a brick wall in that pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He's a brick.
Mm-hmm.
He can't move. So I will blitz him so hard every single, like not every single down, but I'll blitz him so hard.
But do the Patriots share that thinking? That's what we don't know yet.
I don't know, but I mean, Jamie Collins, you know, he didn't wrap him up, but he does got a knack of getting in there. I've seen this from last year, too. He got burst. He got speed. He gets in there. He just needs to get his fundamentals down, stay square, and bring him down.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And mm-hmm. I mean, I think Justin Tuck would be a phenomenal pickup. Phenomenal pickup for them. Just for him and Ayers. Ayers are screaming around that edge, too. You know?
Yeah.
Pair him with Ayers and hopefully Chandler Jones gets back up on his feet, gets Slinga back in the middle, maybe, you know, and the other guy they're about to bring in, you know, all of a sudden you got a good defense.
Well, you know, the makings is there. That's very true. If you're able to add an extra piece to the puzzle on the line, then what a previous caller had mentioned about double teaming allows you, somebody's going to have some free reign. So that's what I like. I like creating mismatches and creating mismatched opportunities. And a guy like that, you know, coming in to join you, if you can work it out financially and not have to give up too much for the, you know, for the privilege of having him play, then I certainly think you're in the hunt, so to speak.
Yeah. And I got one last thing. For all the shout-outs to Patriots Nation, we want Peyton's head. That's what I want trending, man. Peyton's head. Bring the energy. I'll be screaming in my house for everything, John. I'll let you go right now.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate that. Hashtag, I want Peyton's head.
Speaking of hashtags and tweets and all that good stuff,
just
had a nice little exchange, you know, as I'm combing Twitter for us to see if there are any trades or anything like that.
Yep.
I tweeted at the local meteorologist for WBZ-TV in Boston, Eric Fisher, who, John, as part of our in-stadium experience now, goes up on the boards and gives the fans
forecast.
The forecast.
Right.
He says his best guesstimate, and this is a little early, but it's going to be right around the upper 30s with winds gusting from 25 to 40 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
On Sunday. So it's going to be cold and windy.
Cold and windy on Sunday?
Yeah, it's going to be 70 Ooh. Tomorrow, and it's going to be upper 30s dipping down into the 20s as the game goes on. Because don't forget, it's going to get darker earlier because we're doing
That's
the clock
right.
thing.
That's right. We have daylight savings time this
so
weekend.
So
right.
it's going to be dark, cold, and windy on Sunday for the, you know, pretty much starting at kickoff, and then by halftime it'll be pitch black outside.
Wow.
So those conditions, you I think, would favor the Patriots.
Winter conditions. I'm glad you brought that up, though.
If we had a little bit of snow, it'd be great, but that looks unlikely. It looks like that Maine could potentially get a good snow event on Sunday night.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. 1st of November, and we're already talking about this.
But it's
kind
just
of
so weird. We're going to go from 65 today, 72 or 3 tomorrow.
It was 70 in my backyard in the cranberry bog.
And then
today.
All of a sudden, 70 Sunday, degrees. You and I are going to be freezing our tootsies off. And but I'll tell you what, if it helps the Patriots, I'm all for it.
Wow. Well, I think the wind definitely would help. There's no question about that. They know how to play with it here better than they do in Denver. Melvin in Tennessee up next in the playbook. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Good, man.
Man, I will say that maybe I'm just so negative this year. I don't know. But I will go with Tuck, but still with Bill. I mean, like, I hope my defense is not so still with him.
Yeah.
You know, I hope he doesn't put him in the right position, use him correctly. First of all, this move should have been made anyway. We should have had another defensive end anyway. Like, we were out searching there for a while, and then we never came up with anything.
Right.
And, you know, Chandler Jones and them were playing too many other snaps until the end of the year. They were just going down. They couldn't get back there anyway. So we needed another defensive end anyway. So this could be a good thing if they're going to push the, you know, gas on getting a defensive end, because we kind of need one. There's a need for that that I think needs to be fulfilled. But I like BJ, man. I think he would be the guy, but, man, I just, with him, something else is going to have to trickle down. You know, we have mm-hmm. Patel doing okay now.
Mm-hmm.
Dobson is sitting on the, you know, inactive list doing nothing. So, you know, it's kind of hard to tell, because I really want to get up to, but I was thinking, okay, what is our defense going to be really that much better? Or are we just going to be kind of, I just don't know. But
well, here's what I think, Melvin. I honestly believe, and try not to overthink this, I'm really just talking about wish list items here, whether it's him or Jackson or whatever. I don't believe we've got now an hour and 11 minutes until the trading deadline. I don't think the Patriots are making another move. Much as I'd love to see them do it, I don't think they are. I think they're going to stand pat. I think their belief is that with Salinga coming back off of the IR scheduled to return, and I do believe they expect Chandler Jones also to return, and they went out and got Akeem Ayers and pass rushing downs as well, primarily. I feel like they believe, I may not necessarily agree with it, but they believe that they've got enough. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not, and time is only going to tell that overall. I'm always of the opinion you can never, ever have enough. And seeing as how we're at the midway point of the season, and injuries really begin now to get under the microscope and affect teams, you know, I think if you've got the room, I think you go out and you get a guy that can provide you with that little bit of insurance, whether it's, you know, they deem it's Tuck or whether they deem it's Jackson on offense in case, you know, something happens to a receiver. One way or the other, I'd love to see them make a move before the deadline, because to me, that means they are still serious. Very serious about winning it all this year. Not that they weren't. I think they want to do it in their own way. But I think now they see like what we see. And to me, that's almost heartwarming to know that, you know, they don't have the blinders on. And I think sometimes, I think front office personnel and coaches tend to have blinders on because they want to go to war with their guys, that their guys are good enough. And sometimes I think that kind of vision is very myopic. I think sometimes, you know, if you don't have the big picture view, and this is really the biggest criticism, if you want, nitpick that I have of the way that this organization goes about making these decisions, is because they don't have somebody sitting back saying, hey, what about this? What about this scenario? What about that scenario? If they do, they've never made it public. And I think that's, you know, part of the problem that we have here when it comes to understanding some of the moves that the Patriots make or don't make.
Right. And just to piggyback on that point, you know, just the fact to say that I feel like that there's a big difference between Salinga and Tuck. And there's, you know, there's going to be a big difference in that. And that didn't stop teams like, you know, we're going to constantly keep using them. But that didn't, I mean, Denver had Von Miller, but that also didn't stop them from wanting to go get some more pass rush help with Ware. So like, we have to put, if they have the money and it's not going to cost them a lot to get Tuck, and I know what, you know, we know what Tuck is, all that, go get them.
My guess would be to get Justin Tuck, you'd have to give up, you know, well, first of all, you'd have to make room for somebody on the roster. Somebody would have to go. So the Patriots would either A, try to trade a player, and they'd probably also have to give up potentially, a draft pick. Now, you know, could he be had, you know, for a third or a fourth rounder? I'm sure he probably could. I'm not sure if a player would go along with it. It depends on what Oakland would take, but you'd also have to assume the salary. Now, they do have the room, based on what I've seen numbers-wise, that they could assimilate him into the equation. It would certainly leave a little less room for next year, but then, you know what? Worry about next year. You know, this is all about trying to win now, and I think the Patriots see that the competition has kind of come back down to them. Not that they've faded themselves, really, but, you know, before the year started, when everybody was thinking, oh, Seattle looks like such a shoe-in to get back, and now Seattle's a middling 4-3. You know, and Dallas and Green Bay, even though in San Francisco, have all had flashes. And Arizona, let's not forget Arizona. They may be the best team overall in the NFC right now, but all of those teams, I think, nobody scares you. Nobody concerns you like maybe Seattle did a year ago. And in the AFC, who's the only team that you have any doubt about right now, Melvin? That's Denver. Right. It's Denver. That's the only team you have any doubt about. So that means the Patriots are on the precipice of being right there again where we thought and everybody else thought that they could be. What's going to get them over that hump? That's what we have to look at right now. And I hope that they're looking at it too.
I hope so too. You know, that's the last point I say. And the thing is, if it's this year and it's like you said, the NFC kind of backed off a little bit, definitely. It definitely did. I was scared of 49ers. I even played another way.
That's right.
Everything's kind of backed up. So, I mean, you know who you got to beat. I mean, there's no hidden secret. So, like I said, they pushed the gas and went to go for that run. Now, you've got to, and there's nothing wrong with that, Bill. Sometimes you got to push the gas a little bit more, too. I wouldn't be surprised if they do not. Like, that's my normal. You know, they're going to run with what they got. But don't be afraid to hit go sometimes.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Melvin. I'm totally right there with you. All right, buddy.
All right, now. Talk to you later.
You got it. Thank you, Melvin in Tennessee. Let's get a couple of emails in here. This one comes from Shaban, who says, love the show. Marshawn Lynch reportedly wants out of Seattle, and Ridley is on the last year of his contract. Any chance Beast Mode will be in New England? I would be stunned beyond comprehension if that were to happen. First of all, if Seattle were to give up on him before this year is all said and done, I realize they're only 4-3, but nevertheless, they're very much in the mix. They're very much in the mix. Now, the question is, they've got two teams right now that are ahead of them in their own division. They've got to worry about San Francisco, and they have to worry about Arizona. One of those teams, one of those three, is not going to the playoffs, especially when you consider that Dallas is 6-2 and Philadelphia is right there. And I mean, there's too many good teams record-wise. One of those teams is getting left out. So I don't see Marshawn Lynch coming here now. Next year. We'll deal with it then, I suppose. I have no idea who this one's from. Just says, hey, so this is the week, huh, that separates the boys from the men. Three questions. Where will we get the pressure against Manning and the second-best O-line in football? Well, you could help yourself today if you make a deal by the trade deadline. Two, why doesn't Wright get more snaps? I personally don't get it. Bet he can block as well as Amendola. I believe that may be part of the problem, and you may have just answered your own question right there. Because he hasn't been blocking. He's not really known of as a blocker. He's more of a receiver than he is tight end. But you also saw Tom Brady go to him, three times on that opening drive of the second half. And frankly, it might have been just to work out a little bit of, mind meld between the two. So he's more confident in going to him more often. Number three, I heard an interesting name here today that's being thrown out, and that is the defensive tackle Langford from the Rams. And from what I know, he's pretty good. Don't they know the salary, the compensation, but would take him for a reasonable price? Yeah, I've also heard Langford's name mentioned as well. You know, the Rams might be, you know, in some sort of a sale mode because they've had so many guys on the IR. Again, salary and compensation. I don't know what his salary is, so I don't know right off the top what the Patriots would be on the hook for, because I don't have that information right in front of me. I'm sure some of you do, and if you do, be, you know, feel free to share that. Jack from South Carolina says, I don't think we could compare our weapons to Denver's, even if we got Vincent Jackson. Demaryius Thomas, better than Jackson. Sanders, better than LaFell. Welker and Edelman's a wash. Gronk, better than Thomas, but he's still very good, and their offensive line is better as well. If you look at it, man on man, as you just did, Jack, you make a very you make a good case. The only one that I think is a slam dunk is Demaryius Thomas, maybe better than Jackson. I'm not so sure that Emmanuel Sanders is necessarily better than LaFell. We've seen both Sanders and LaFell come on of late. LaFell's a different receiver than Sanders. Sanders is the kind of guy that maybe if you matched up against Revis, now you got somebody that can shut him down. Just thinking. But I definitely think we could compare the weapons to Denver. You're at least in the same ballpark, Jack. Even you'd have to admit that. Chad from the ATL says, John, the only nitpick I have from last week's game is Brady didn't tie or break the touchdowns in a game record. I kid. I will say that if there were a nitpick to be had, I'd say Edelman could have got the balls that were thrown his way. One more thing. I have a feeling that if the Patriots win out the schedule, they'll win the Super Bowl because the teams that are left for the Patriots are the hardest they will play regardless of the conferences. That's obviously a good point. I mentioned 37-25, the combined record of the teams left on the schedule, and the Patriots right now, the teams they have beaten are a combined, I think, 18-31-1, something like that. So under 500 by, you know, 13 games or so. Whereas the rest of the teams are a dozen games over 500 combined. Yeah, and of course, you realize, you know, you'd have Detroit, you'd have Green Bay, yeah, absolutely. Terms of the NFC teams that you have left on the schedule, San Diego, Denver clearly this weekend. I mean, let's not overthink this. Absolutely, you'd be knocking off the teams that are going to be and would definitely be your primary contenders, you know, for buys and or playoff berths and or wins in the postseason in the AFC. As far as Edelman is concerned, it's been a couple of weeks now that he's had a case of the dropsies, and that was another one of my nitpicks. Three of Brady's first four incompletions, and he only had five for the entire day on Sunday, but three of the first four incompletions were drops. Two of those came from Edelman. You know, and then, of course, after those early misconnections, Brady looked elsewhere often, and Edelman only had one catch for 14 yards for the whole game. Gronk and LaFell benefited from the increased attention, and both went over 100 yards receiving on the day. So it's kind of a one-hand washes the other scenario. It's great to see Gronk look like the Gronk of old, as we've seen him now for the last several weeks, and LaFell, for the last couple of weeks especially, looks exactly like what the Patriots hoped they were going to get when they picked him up via free agency from Carolina in the offseason. And so now you've got guys that you feel no problem, not one bit, not one smidge of doubt going to, and yet the downside of that is, well, it's not going to Edelman. And he was Mr. Reliable that largely kept this offense afloat during the first month's struggles this season. Hopefully he can figure out what the dropsy problem is, because he's the first player out on the field. Before they even, a couple of weeks ago when we had the rain and we had the tarp on the field, you know, well before kickoff, he was out there on the sideline on the Patriots bench in front of where they come out from the underneath part of the stadium. And he was out there working with one of the coaches or one of the, it may have been one of the offensive assistants, catching balls. And they were dipping the ball in water. And he was trying to catch the ball off to the side and catch the ball, you know, off the shoe tops and over his shoulders and everything else. And he was working hard on that. And he's really traditionally the first guy out on the field working hard every game. And I noticed that particular run-through drill that he was going with, and they were dunking the ball in a bucket of water. Or if not dunking in a bucket of water, they're rubbing it in the ground where the water had puddled up right in front of right at the back of where the Patriots bench is. And you know, nobody works harder than he does. And so that's why the last couple of weeks these drops from Edelman have been a real puzzler. It's good to know that other options are arising. But the Patriots need him to be more sure-handed, especially when teams take these other guys away, and Denver could be one of those teams. I think, you know, short and sweet are going to be needed this Sunday against Denver because Denver's rush is going to be as fierce as the Patriots have faced all year long. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number, 855-PATS-500. Webradio at patriots.com, the email, at JRBroadcaster, Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Let's get Marcus in Kansas City in here. Marcus, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, Marcus.
Hey, I think we should go after the running back, what's his name, Doug Martin out there at Tampa Bay. I think it'd be a good move. I think that would definitely put us over the top of the season. Definitely.
Now, are you basing that on something you've seen of Martin recently or because he went for 1,400 yards in his rookie year?
I think he went for the 1,400 yards in his rookie year. We definitely know he has the capability to do what is needed, and we're hurting.
Well, see, I would want to find out, though, Marcus, I would want to find out, though, why he's fallen in such disfavor in Tampa.
And he's not for a horrible team. Like, they're horrible.
But you couldn't make the argument that he would help make them better?
Yeah, I mean, of course he would, but when have Lovie Smith's offenses ever been good, though? Like, ever?
Mm-hmm.
When, what offense did he ever have as good? Shiano didn't do him any favors. He did a good job of drafting. I think Shiano definitely knew talent, but as far as him being able to coach the talent at a professional level, nah, he was inadequate.
Yeah.
110%. It just did not work, but I definitely think they could do something.
Okay. All right, so your vote is for Doug Martin rather than for either one of those other two guys.
Nah, I mean, I'll take Vincent Jackson, too. I mean, if they offered him up, who wouldn't want Vincent Jackson? You got a 6'5 beast that can get downfield.
Yeah.
You got Justin Tuck, who killed us in 2 Super Bowls. So, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I even thought Mark Barron would be a good move. I thought safety. I thought we needed a pretty good, strong safety that could come up and help us in run defense. I thought, you know, he could take care of business.
Right.
Mark Barron would be a great pick. I just think they're going to want a little bit too much for Mark Barron or Doug Martin. They're going to probably want a first-round draft pick because they drafted both of those players in the first round. So,
okay.
You know.
All right. Any other nitpicks, Marcus, from Sunday?
I didn't really have a whole lot. I would have liked for them to shut them out pretty much. But, just keep the score in the team. I didn't like they gave up touchdowns, even though it was time.
I can understand that. Thank you, Marcus. Appreciate the phone call. I can understand that. I was a little, you know, I believe it or not, I'll tell you what bothered me, giving up those 2 2-point conversions. That bothered me. I realize garbage time means nothing, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of like, wow, you know, what happens if, a team really needs to convert a 2-point conversion, and, you know, you're not doing what you can to stop it. I mean, there was no sense of urgency. Sometimes I think if you play with a sense of urgency, that can really help you out. All right, let's take a couple of moments here to visit now with Eric Friends, who covers the AFC East of the Patriots for Boston.com as he joins us on Tuesdays here in the Patriots Playbook. Eric, how goes the battle today?
It's going very well, and it's always going much better after a Patriots win than it is after a loss, and certainly it's been a lot easier over the past few weeks. Don't really have to put as much effort in as a sports writer when it's a blowout. You can really just kind of coast to the finish line, but just grinding away, just getting ready for the Broncos now.
Well, let's before we kind of turn our attention toward Denver, what were your impressions overall of the Patriots' defense that seemed to put, you know, I thought, more pressure on Jay Cutler than we all thought was even capable before the game was underway, largely due to the fact that there was no Chandler Jones out there?
Yeah, I was really impressed by that as well. They got pressure nearly 40% of the time. They got 15 pressures on 38 total dropbacks by the Bears. And really, I thought, you know, the best pass rushers from my perspective were Rob Ninkovich and Dominique Easley, who both I thought had really good games. Akeem Ayers had a really good start to his Patriots career as well, obviously getting that sack that he shared with Vince Wilfork. But definitely a good start for him. And really, you know, I think for Easley, this was a much-needed performance because it's really been a slow start to the season for him, and he's a guy who's probably going to have to step up with Jones out.
Yeah, now the question that I kind of tossed out for some of our fans today is, you know, because we got the trading deadline now less than an hour away, my gut instinct has been for the last 24 hours or so that I really doubt the Patriots had another move left in them. But of the names that were being thrown out there, the two that seem to be most prevalent and really make the most sense right now were on offense for Vincent Jackson to come in and add his, talents to that arsenal for Brady that might make them quote-unquote Denver-like. And on defense for a guy like Justin Tuck, who certainly seemed like he could help take up for the absence of a Chandler Jones if Jones is out for an extended period of time. Of those two guys, what makes the most sense, do you think?
Well, I think from a value perspective, Justin Tuck would make the most sense out of those two, only because I don't think it would take nearly as much to get him as it would take to get Vincent Jackson. Justin Tuck, you know, he's a free agent signing for the Raiders, and it would be interesting if they were to move on from him after only 7 games for the Raiders. But I do think that, you know, the Patriots could use that defensive end presence, whereas at the wide receiver spot, you know, they could certainly use a guy like Vincent Jackson. What team couldn't, right? But really, you know, you look at what they have right now between Brandon LaFell, Rob Gronkowski, and Julian Edelman, I think that's a pretty solid start to an offensive attack. And then if one of these other guys, like maybe Danny Amendola, starts to step up, or Shane Vereen, who he's been in and out of the lineup just in terms of his production, but Aaron Dobson, if he could finally crack the lineup and make an impact, I think that might be kind of a pipe dream at this point. But if any one of those guys steps up even a little bit, this Patriots offense has 4 solid weapons that it would be really tough to stop.
I don't disagree with that, but here's my way of thinking. We haven't seen a guy like Gronk make it to the end of the year in a while. Because of that, you know, just in case you get an injury that takes one of these guys that you're talking about out, whether it's Gronk or somebody else, Vincent Jackson certainly would come in handy. You'd have a guy that would be a legitimate go-to guy receiving-wise for your football team if you brought him in.
That's a good point. And I do think that, you know, the Patriots have to, you know, I mean, you don't have to really, you can't think about injuries in the future. Like, you can't predict an injury that's going to happen. And obviously, Gronkowski has a history of not making it to the end of the season, so that's a little bit different. But I do think that, you know, just for the price that it would take to get him, I mean, they're going to want at least a second-round pick. I'd be surprised if they didn't want a first-round pick for him. So I look at that, and I think the Patriots right now, I mean, obviously they just value those first-round picks too much to begin with, but I think that, you know, what they have on the offensive side is enough that they aren't desperate enough for a receiver to make that kind of a move.
Eric, what if I told you that I have a Tampa Bay writer friend who says he thinks Jackson can be had for a 4th-round pick?
That might change the discussion a little bit. You still have to deal with Jackson's monster salary.
Yep.
And I do think that's kind of something that they would have to probably agree to that before they would agree to the trade. So I think that's something to take into consideration as well. Certainly, you know, if the asking price was a bit lower, I could see the Patriots, you know, entering the discussion, but I wouldn't say that completely changes the discussion though overall.
As far as Tuck is concerned, his deal, I think, is 2 years and like $11 million with the Raiders, and that certainly seems to be something that would be assumable by New England, does it not?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, they have, I forget exactly how much cap space they have, but they have plenty of it right now to use on a guy if they were to make a trade to get somebody that, you know, had a relatively large contract. And that's just kind of par for the course around trade deadline time. You're either going to get a player who either A, isn't really playing up to his standards, in which case why would you want him to begin with, or B, you're going to get a guy with a bloated contract, or C, you're going to get a combination of both. But I do think that, you know, you look at the situation where the Patriots have some cap space, they could be a little bit more forgiving in that sense and maybe make a move if they felt the time was right.
Do you think the Patriots should use this cap space if they have it available to use for this year?
I wouldn't go that far, only because they have a lot of really key free agents coming up in the next year and or year or two. Actually, you have, I mean, Devin McCourty is the big name free agent this offseason. You also have, I mean, Nate Solder's coming up, and obviously he hasn't played really up to his standards this season, but definitely he's going to command a relatively large contract regardless, just because, you know, left tackles are just hard to come by. But, you know, you have a number of guys who are coming up on big contracts. Even Ridley, Shane Vereen, and Brandon Bolden are all set to hit the open market this offseason, and so they do have to keep some money set aside, and then in the future, you have the possibility that, you know, they could continue to roll that money over into future years. So if they don't spend the money this year, they can spend it next year, and I think there'll be some guys on the roster that would definitely warrant that kind of spending.
And also, if they even hope to have a shot of keeping a guy like Revis around, there better be a little cap space money left for him as well.
Yeah, that's the one I forgot to mention, Revis, and I mean, how could you, right? But
Right. Certainly,
he's going to be a guy who is going to command a high contract as well. I'm figuring he's probably still looking in the $16 million range, just because that's what he's become accustomed to at this point. And I do think that's something Patriots will probably have to make some considerations towards that. I mean, they do have the option to extend him out next year for 1 year at $20 million, but my opinion, they probably wouldn't want to do that. They would rather get him on a long-term deal.
Agreed.
Because the cap hits a bit lower than that.
Absolutely agreed with that. All right, before you put Chicago to bed, what stood out to you, not in just a positive sense, but as far as nitpicks are concerned, something that this team still needs to continue to work on, especially in the short term?
Well, I think the running game has to really become a strength for this team at some point. I know that's a bit, that's asking a bit much after Stephen Ridley went down with the injury, but this has been a problem for the Patriots year after year, is that, I mean, they can throw it all day long, and then when they have to run the ball, when the defense knows they're going to run the ball and they have to run it, they can't get the job done. And I think that's something that has to change at some point. I do also think, in terms of the pass protection, I mean, that was very good. That has to continue to improve. We can't see it relapse to what it was earlier in the season. And I mean, I feel like that's the group that's really going to determine how this season goes for the Patriots. But also, I mean, I feel like I would say if there's one more spot that has to improve, it's probably the run defense. I mean, that's still a huge problem for them.
Yep.
They still have a hard time covering up the A and B gaps. And I think Vince Wilfork, Dominic Easley, those guys are going to have to step up big. Down the stretch, they also may have to look to guys like Casey Walker a bit more. He's been playing really well, in my opinion. I think he deserves a bit longer look than what he's been getting.
I totally agree with you about Casey Walker. Every time I see him out there in the field, he seems to be involved one way or another with a nice play, with a solid play. He's very hard to block because of his bulk and his size overall. I mean, he's hard to move off the ball, off the line. I'd love to see Walker have that opportunity. And let's also keep in mind this team is going to get Salinga back in a couple of weeks.
That's true as well. And I think that's going to help out a bit on the run defense as well. I do think that's really the one area on the defensive side that has stood out to me in a negative way. I mean, the pass defense has just been so lights out, we've almost come to take it for granted. But that group, I mean, they have a pretty tough challenge coming up here over the next few weeks with Peyton Manning. You have Andrew Luck and Phillip Rivers all ahead on the schedule.
Right.
So plenty of good quarterbacks up ahead, and I think they're going to have to continue to play well.
And because of those quarterbacks that are, you know, on the horizon ahead, and the fact that the Patriots have a considerably tougher schedule left ahead than the one that they've just now left behind, more of a need, I think, for the defense to step up, whether it's rush defense or putting pressure on an opposing quarterback. But the talent level is getting ready to take a huge step up, and that's where this whole big picture thing, in my opinion, has to come into play right now. If I was really going to get serious with a nitpick here, I want this team to have a big picture view right now and put a team out on the field that can defend some of these teams that are getting ready to be on the schedule.
Yeah, you nailed it. And I think they're getting closer to that. And I mean, I look at what they were able to do, like we talked about at the top, you know, just in terms of getting pressure on Jay Cutler. We talked about that as a huge key for them on defense this past week. I think that's going to be a key once again against Peyton Manning, although it's a bit tougher because he's just so hard to get pressure on because of how quickly he gets the ball out. He's just so hard to stack because he's so quick at reading a defense and getting the ball out. So I think it's going to be a tough challenge this week, but certainly it's one that has to they have to accomplish if they want to pick up the win.
All right. Eric, then let's kind of turn the page for just a moment briefly before we let you go and look at Denver for this week, because, you know, clearly this is a matchup of, you know, one of the top matchups of the season thus far. You got the two teams that look to be at the top of the AFC, at least at this stage, halfway through the season. The Broncos look every bit as good as they were a year ago. Arguably, you can make the case that they are better defensively because of the offseason moves that they've made and the guys they've gone out to get to help pressure the opposing quarterbacks. And Peyton Manning has always been Peyton Manning, but he looks more like the Peyton of old now than he has ever since he's put on a Denver uniform. You know, it's almost a pick your poison kind of situation when it comes to defending these guys. You know what, and I was just kind of thinking out loud about this with a couple of callers earlier today, but wouldn't it be kind of fun to see the Patriots try some sort of a blitz package like what we saw Washington do to Dallas last night?
Oh, well, and that's a tough thing to ask for, just because, like I said, you know, Peyton Manning, it's so hard to get pressure on him, and he's so good at diagnosing a blitz, picking it up, and beating that blitz by getting the ball to the right receiver. So I would say, you know, I mean, they're going to have to disguise pretty well if they're going to run that kind of a scheme. But, you know, that's always a point of emphasis with the Patriots in the week leading up to the whatever contest it is against Peyton Manning, whether it be the Colts or the Broncos. But certainly I think that's something that, you know, whether it's, you know, a four-man rush like it was this past week or a little bit heavier blitz package, they're going to have to get pressure. But you were saying pick your poison earlier. I think the only poison they really don't have to worry about is the running game. And I heard a caller before I came on the air mentioned that they felt that this game should be kept in the teens if the Patriots want to come out with a win. But good luck with that, because the Broncos are going to want to throw the ball all over the yard. They're not going to want to try to run the ball, even though the Patriots have struggled in run defense. I mean, the Broncos just simply haven't been successful running the ball. They average 3.8 yards per carry. That's the 25th in the league. So that's, you know, right down there in the bottom 10 in terms of rush average. And I think, you know, they're going to want to just air the ball out and try their best to, you know, find ways to beat the Patriots defense. I would suspect this is going to be a big game for Julius Thomas. The Patriots have had a hard time covering tight ends. And really, you know, I think that the Patriots have also been so solid covering the outside receivers that that's probably going to be where Peyton Manning finds open receivers most often.
So they'll be looking to the middle, and that vulnerable underneath side of the Patriots defense, that soft belly, if you will, and Thomas will be right there probably to try to take advantage. Good insight, Eric. Thanks for the sneak preview, and as always, we appreciate your time here. If we don't see you before then, we'll see you next Sunday.
All right, thanks a lot. Good talking to you. Have a good week.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Friends covers the AFC East and the Patriots for Boston.com. Joining us here in the playbook, as he does every Tuesday, to not only share his nitpicks from the previous week's game, but also to take the first look ahead at next week's opponent. And boy, do we have that in our gun sights right now? All right, back to the phones. Thanks for hanging in there, Eldridge in North Carolina. What's up, buddy?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, man. They picked. I might just call. I didn't like the way they let them come in. I know it was garbage time. But if that was garbage time with the Broncos, let's say we have down and we're ahead, and they let them come back like that, that's going to hurt either Super Bowl, AFC Championship, or any game for that matter.
All right.
That's my nitpick.
Okay.
Other thing, the trade, what you said about Jackson,
mm-hmm.
I understand that, you know, but I think we need more help on defense than offense, man, to be honest with you, besides the line.
That's why I asked about if not Jackson, then Justin Tuck, because clearly there are needs on both sides.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I wish they would go after Tuck, to be honest with you. I was hoping they'd get him when he was free agency before Oakland got, because you need him. You know, I know we had Tommy Kelly and you had Vince, but you still have a veteran president like him that does pressure the quarterback and can get in there. And who knows, he might revert back to the Jazz ways with Bill. But I just wish they'd do that, man, because, like I said, Denver got too many weapons. Too many weapons. And pressuring Manning kind of scared, because, like I said, we got corners that, besides Reeves and Browner. Browner's okay, but he's not that much of elite. But speed-wise, man, we don't match up nowhere in the secondary,
mm-hmm.
speed-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Even with their running back, Williams, I think his name is Williams, You know, if they use him like Jamar Charles, we got no, well, Harris runs pretty good, but 9 out of 10, well, I like the way they used Harris last Sunday, pressuring the quarterback, getting to the quarterback, you know, and he did a pretty good job for that.
Okay.
I don't know if he can cover tight ends or not, but he got the speed too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he can or not, but I just hope they come up with a package, you know. And the outside threat, man, I just wish, you know, I don't know what's up with Dobson. I don't know why they keep having him inactive when evidently he's ready to play or whatever. I don't know if that.
Well, who are you going to put? Eldridge, who are you going to put him in front of right now?
Right now? I don't know. You know, well, I don't know.
There you go.
I don't know.
There's your problem.
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Well, then that's why he's not in there.
Unless it's, Amendola didn't show that much, but a couple catches in that touchdown.
Yeah, but Amendola also helps you in the kick return game.
Kick return game, yeah.
Okay, and that's something that Dobson doesn't do.
Yeah,
or hasn't done much of in the past. So, again, yeah. I ask you the question, who does he beat out? The answer is nobody.
Nobody. Nobody right now. And, but I wish they would do one thing for me, though. I was hoping they would do that last week against Bears, against that rookie corner,
mm-hmm.
was put Tim's outside to form the speed and let him go for it. Just go deep once. I hope they do that a couple times against Denver to back them up because you got Von Miller and you got Ware coming off the corner. And if Solder is not on this game,
I know
it's going to be a long day for Brady.
Well, that's why I think the Patriots, you know, had probably best be prepared to kind of play a little Denver-style offense against that Denver defense. You know, see if they can't mitigate some of that pass rush that clearly is going to come from both Ware and Miller.
It's all like the bubble screens and the quick itches, and then shoot it deep every now and then mm-hmm. down the road.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be a good too.
Yeah.
And as far as the running back, man, they need to go out and get Blunt. I know Blunt don't look too good in Pittsburgh uniform, but for some reason, Blunt is not playing like Blunt in Pittsburgh. I bet you bring him back here.
Well,
he might play a little bit better.
we mentioned him. We mentioned him in several trade talks over the course of the last couple of weeks. But it may just very well be that there's no interest, or that you know the Steelers would ask too much of a price tag. So I'm a little surprised that hasn't gotten more play.
Do you feel comfortable with Jonas Gray? Because I don't.
Well, I think Jonas Gray is a smart, smart young man. And I think he understands what it means to take advantage of his situation. I think he took a big, big step toward that this past weekend. And again, it was against Chicago, and I'd like to see him, you know, continue to perform. But the Patriots have really liked what they've seen from him for a long time, and I feel like he's more of an every down kind of guy than anybody else that they have right now in the offensive backfield. So they're giving him the opportunity. It's got to be up to him completely to take advantage of that situation. If the Patriots don't make a move, say to go for after a Doug Martin or even a LeGarrette Blount, then clearly, Eldridge, they feel like he's one that can handle it.
Well, I hope they know what they're doing. But to me, that good run against Chicago, okay, I give him that. But it's long. I guess he's like, keep turning, and he keeps getting stronger and keeps getting better.
Fair enough.
I understand he hasn't played for what's called.
Yeah.
But I reserve my thing. But I got it, like I told the other show, LaFell got me wondering a little bit now because I don't know which LaFell is going to show up. Because like I told him,
well,
in Carolina, he had games.
You have every reason to believe, Eldridge. You have every reason to believe. And thanks for the phone call. You have every reason to believe that, you know, the LaFell you've seen over the last 3 or 4 weeks is the one that's going to show up. It's not like he's good one game and crappy the next. He's definitely been on an upward curve, so I'm not so sure why you'd want to fall back and think about that. Trey in Memphis up next. Hello, Trey.
Hey, John, what's going on, baby?
I'm good. How are you?
Man, I'm doing fine, man. I think we're going to match up well, man. I just think, you know, you got to look at it. You're not going to completely shut down the Patriots offense. You're not going to completely shut down the Denver Broncos offense unless, you know, both teams. Because right now, man, both teams are going to make plays. And I think the one thing that, you know, kind of bothers me a little bit, the last three games that Brady has played against the Denver Broncos, you know, they recovered a sack fumble. And I think that, you know, that's one thing that we're going to have to avoid. You know, those sack fumbles, man. I mean, because and then they always get those on the main side of the field, you know, on the Patriots territory.
Sure.
So I just feel like, you know, if we could come up with a game plan. I mean, just like you said, mimic the Broncos a little bit. I mean, because to be honest, I think that both these offenses are almost the same. You know, they're kind of similar to me. And I just feel like, you know, we're going to have a good game plan, man. And I really, this is the first true test that the Broncos defense are going to face as well. I mean, John, I mean, what you think about this? I mean,
well,
right now, John, they're just, I mean, they're facing a tough test as well.
That's true, but they've also beaten tougher teams than the Patriots have played thus far. They've beaten San Francisco, they've beaten Arizona. You know, they've beaten San Diego.
They beat up on a beat up San Francisco 49er defense. I mean, they is nowhere near as good as they were. Now you want to talk about, the reputation wise, they beat up on a good San Francisco team. Beat up on the San Diego Chargers. I mean, John, they got more backups in their secondary than anybody in the league.
I would say of the two good teams that they've played and beaten. They've beaten San Diego, they've beaten Indy, they've beaten SF, and they've beaten Zona. Arizona, to me, is probably the better of the four defenses right there, at least at this stage, based on where they are right now, and they're 6-1.
Right. Well, you look at that game, man, against Arizona. They just victimized Antonio Cromartie. They was getting him on the double moves, something he's been struggling with his whole career, John. I mean, but like you said, now, they have beaten it. You know, a lot of better teams, I mean, but those teams are not clicking on all cylinders like the Patriots are clicking right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you bring up a good point. They are going to face somebody that is at least as formidable as they have faced this year, and they're going to have to face them on the road. Might have blustery, cold conditions, which really shouldn't bother them that much coming from Denver, but it will be, right, you know, strange just because it'll be the first time this year for either team to have to face that coming up. And that's what we expect it to be, you know, here on Sunday. So, who knows? I think there'll be a lot of emotion going into it, but I certainly know that the Denver team took great pains in the offseason to build themselves up to where they were improved over what you saw happen to them last year, in particular in the Super Bowl against Seattle. They've done that, and now they're going to look at this as like a supreme test on Sunday.
All right, yeah, well, John, this is my last thing, man. I think that this Jonas great kid, man, is going to be a great asset. And I really feel like, I mean, you know, there are some guys out there, I mean, but I'm looking at the clock, John. The clock's ticking, ain't it?
It is.
The clock is ticking.
We got 31 minutes until the trade deadline. Still no word on anything definitive. And frankly, I think you probably know as well as I do. And thanks for the phone call, Trey. But everyone who's listening in now, just, you know, especially if you're hoping for an update on the trade deadline, this is sort of like baseball's trade deadline. I mean, it's worse. It's sort of like. I saw a great analogy earlier today. Somebody compared the NFL trading deadline to the NFL supplemental draft. It's kind of like, oh, they have one of those? Just speaking to the fact that they don't really expect a lot, and traditionally not a lot happens in the final few moments before it hits 4:00 Eastern time. It just doesn't quite work this way in the NFL with so much out there in terms of the salary cap and assuming salaries and, you know, picks going forth. You rarely see player traded for player because the money doesn't often match. And, you know, it's just not quite as big a deal overall as you've seen with, you know, other sports leagues and their trading deadlines. Doesn't mean it can happen, but I think Bill Belichick actually put it pretty well when he was on a conference call earlier today. And he also said some things to this end as well with the members of the Patriots media over the course of the last day or so. And that is really, you know, sometimes, you know, you want to be able at this stage of the game to stay with the guys you have, because you bring somebody in at this late stage, unless it's an absolute necessity, it takes a while to coach them up and to assimilate them into actually realizing the potential that you think or even he thinks that player might have. I mean, let's just say for practical purposes, let's say Justin Tuck comes in tomorrow. You think that he, you know, is probably veteran enough to be able to pick it up. And defense, I would argue, isn't quite as, you know, complicated as offense. So on the other end, let's say you pick up Vincent Jackson. and you bring him in and you try to assimilate him. And even though the Patriots seem to have a nice rhythm and rotation with their receivers right now, hey, it's something that Aaron Dobson can't break into right now. How are you going to add Vincent Jackson into the mix? And what happens if he has trouble with the playbook, which is something that, you know, other, you know, receivers have had as they have come to New England in the past. So sometimes you're not sure what you're really asking for when you're asking for help, because that help might not necessarily be help, and then you had to give up something to get that help. Anyway, food for thought. Brecken in Rhode Island joins us next in the playbook. Hello, Brecken.
Hey, John, what's up?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? First time caller from Rhode Island.
Well, I'm glad that you called. Thanks for taking the time.
I was just about to say, I very much disagree with the previous caller. I think that we're going to have a very difficult time of matching up on our offensive side.
Okay.
I think that, like, the moves they made in the offseason toward getting the, DeMarcus Ware and getting Aqib Talib and all that, I think that where the problem lies is I think Aqib Talib is going to be very good at taking away Brandon LaFell.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, all you really need to do on the defensive side is the bracket Gronk. And I think that where our matchup really lies is we're only going to have a good matchup on Shane Vereen and Wright if we're playing them.
Okay. So, all right. So then overall, what's the point?
No, I feel like basically the defense can do a really good job considering that Antonio Gates had a great game versus them the other day playing with my fans. He got two touchdowns.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, I think that basically, we're not really going to have that many options on offense, considering that Brandon LaFell is going to be limited to maybe 2-3 catches, and Julian Edelman on the backside, whether it be matched up with Chris Harris or whoever. I think that they're definitely going to do a different job with Gronk, considering that T.J. Ward cannot cover him at all, or cover Gates.
So what do you think they'll do?
I think you have to bracket Gronk, honestly. That's the only decision you can, because if you try to play him man up, there's nobody on their team that's going to be able to do that.
So if you bracket him and bring somebody over the top to help out, does that conceivably leave somebody else with man-on-man attention?
It does, but do you think that Brandon LaFell 1-on-1 to Talib? Maybe Julian Edelman will have a decent game, 6-7 catches, but I don't think Brandon LaFell is going to win that matchup with Talib.
Well, you know, we've seen Talib give up yardage before. He did it when he was a Patriot. You know, I think that, you know, he's a very good defensive back. I don't think he's quite as good as Darrell Revis, but I think he's still very good, and I would love to have seen him stay, but clearly he felt like he had more money opportunity in Denver, and that's why he left. As far as being shut down, where you're going to take a guy completely out of the play?
No,
look at the physical matchup. Look at the size of receiver that LaFell is, and if Talib is the guy that's going to match up against him, and we don't really definitively know that yet, but it stands to reason that could be the case, then, you know, don't you at least see LaFell has shown me in the ability to be tough with the ball. I like him in traffic, and now that he has the ability to seem to go get the ball even when it's somewhat off target, and we saw that in a couple of catches this last week against the Bears, you know, I kind of like his chances in a man-on-man matchup. I think he'll be able to hold his own. But even if you call that a wash and you've got, you know, help for Gronk on the other side, that should still conceivably leave a guy like Edelman open for, you know, some real possibility, because he'll be in man situation. Maybe Amendola, who knows? I think there's going to be somebody open somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. I think Julian Edelman's going to have a good game. But I think that a lot of the passing yards compared to the Bears' defense last week really contributes to this lack of not having any depth of linebackers. So we have a good gashing run plays with Jonas Gray, and then the inexperienced linebackers would just come up and play action. There's giant holes behind them where they're throwing, like, deep posts to Brandon LaFell, and it's like a lot of those plays really opened up because there's not a lot of underneath covered linebackers.
Okay. All right, I'm following you. Absolutely. Do you like Denver? Do you like Denver's matchup overall then?
Honestly, like, with if we had Chandler Jones back in the mix, I would favor the Patriots, but I think Denver just has slight edge. I think we're not going to get any pressure on Peyton Manning, to be honest.
Well, that is a concern. That's why we kind of asked the question today about the trading deadline, possible trading deadline pickups. You know, because I thinking about it coming in today, I just thought, you know, really, what's of more of a need for this team right now? And it has to be, without question, on the defensive side of the ball. I'd want to see somebody able to apply pressure. And if a guy like Tuck could be had for a reasonable amount, then that's a guy that you should at least take a sniff at.
Yeah, I agree with you. What do you think about Brandon Browner versus Jamie Collins matched up on Julius Thomas?
I honestly haven't had a whole lot of time to consider it yet because that will actually come later this week. But I think at least initially, if my major concern is Browner getting whistled for, you know, defensive holding. That's my major concern right now. But, you know, hopefully they'll be able to work those things out in practice this week and work on special situations. But as far as a physical matchup, I like it just fine.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting game to watch. I think I like our matchup better on defense than on offense, to be honest, but it's me maybe.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, but I think the Patriots will be ready for it. They're going to try, count on this, Brecken. They're going to try to make Denver as one-dimensional as humanly possible. So they're going to do whatever they can. You know, my guess would be there will be ability and space open in the middle because they probably don't respect Denver's ability to run the ball. So that lead's going to leave, you know, a guy like Thomas open in the middle, or it possibly could leave a kid like Hillman available to have a big day if he can get past the line of scrimmage. That's what you really have to, I think, watch out for.
Yeah. It's just going to be frustrating watching the game when you see Peyton Manning have all the time in the pocket in the world. It's going to be a fun game.
Well, that certainly stands to you know, to be the case, I think, on Sunday. Thanks for the phone call. You bet. Thank you. Here's Jake in Tallahassee. Jake, thanks for hanging in. You're in the playbook.
Hey, big guy. It's Jake.
Yeah, Jake.
In Tallahassee.
Yeah, man.
Just listen to the guys, to the call-ins, and listen to some of the comments. I think the key to beating Peyton Manning is going to be Jonas Gray and our offensive line. And the reason why I say that is the number one way to keep Peyton Manning from scoring is have Peyton Manning on the sideline. I think that running game is going to be a key. Even though I don't think we're running the ball real well, we're going to have to get ready to run that ball Sunday. Defensively, I just think that Bill Belichick's smart. I think he'd rather have those running backs beat him than Peyton Manning. I think he's going to put some defensive backs back there in the secondary and play a little lighter box. And because when Peyton comes to the line and make him make the decision, hey, if that's not a good look for me to try to pass the ball, I'm going to run this. And I'd rather have that running back get 200 yards and, you know, 5 or 10 yards a pop and just gradually beat me. And hopefully my running game can keep Peyton Manning on the sideline than I would for him throwing that ball everywhere and having quick scores to where if it gets too far out, it makes my offense one-dimensional. And then if Tom Brady has to throw the ball the whole game, we're in trouble. We're in trouble.
Well, I agree with your premise about trying to keep the ball out of Manning's hands if you can control the ball. You know, and whether or not you can do that with your running game or not, I think certainly is to be determined. But you can still control the ball even if, you know, you utilize a short passing game with a hurry-up offense. You don't allow Denver to make any substitutions. This might also be an opportunity to see that. And we really haven't seen that yet from this offense so far this season. I'd like to see that. Anything, as you said, to keep the ball out of Denver's hands. Here's another instance, and I nitpicked on this in the View from Above column today. Take the damn ball rather than defer it and jump on Denver and make them play from behind.
Right. Well, I just think that I don't think we have enough in our pass rush to really get him fixed. Of course, we need to blitz when we know he's going to throw the football, okay? But I think the key to it is, you know, I'd rather for Hillman to beat me than I would Peyton Manning having good looks. You know, I'd rather have it light in the box.
Sure.
Put some guys back there in zone and hopefully make him throw through tight windows and hopefully he makes a mistake.
Sure.
But, if we're not going to try to run the football and keep him off the field or a short passing game to substitute for a running game and, try to keep him off the field and try to make him make it to try to get him to the point to where he knows is he's overmatched trying to throw the ball and he has to call a run play. I think that's the only chance we have. If he has a great game and he's throwing the ball well and it's over for us. I don't really think our defense is good as advertised. I just think we played a few mediocre teams. Chicago really wasn't that good anyway. They were coming apart at the seams before they came into that game. And I think this is going to be a real test. But one thing about the Patriots,
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are two of the smartest player and coach combination ever. And I just think those guys, with whatever talent we have, I don't think we have much talent out there, but that's just my opinion. Those guys, with whatever they got out there, they give it their all. They'll come up with a game plan to keep us least close in the game. So that's just my comment.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Jake. You know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised at the fact that people want to already talk about matchups with the Broncos. It's Tuesday, people. Chill. I mean, really? We're going to get into all these individual matchups on Tuesday? This is Nitpick Tuesday. My nitpick would be, come on, you got to save some for later in the week. You got to gradually build up to this thing. Otherwise, you're going to be pulling your hair out by Thursday or Friday, and the kickoff isn't until 4:25 on Sunday. Man, keep going like this, you're going to start looking like Kevin Collins. Oh. Kev, I'm going to reset here so we can reboot this computer screen.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. Every once a week, I guess I got to bring that in. And that will be my once for this week. I promise. No more. Maybe. Anyway, let's reset here so we can reboot this computer because I want to get to those emails and some of the other Facebook and tweets that we've had. Phone line's still open, available at 855-PATS-500. But the question is, we now have 18 minutes to go before the trading deadline. If the Patriots were to make a trade, would you like to see a guy like Jackson on offense or a guy like Tuck on defense? Or do you stand pat, Pats fans? Get to that coming up in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Didn't like what you saw from the hometown team last Sunday?
Brady's under center. Counter action. Play fake by Brady. Jesus. Under rush. Down he goes. Tom with no chance. Sacked by Jerry Hughes. Back at the 23.
Well, John didn't either. Sucky, sucky, sucky. It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook. Phone in your nitpicks on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email them to webradio@patriots.com. Now back to the nitwit, nitpick master himself, John Rook.
Twitter at JR Broadcaster, some nitpicks. This one from Randy in New Orleans says, my nitpick is how soft the team starts to play in the second half after a good first half. That was certainly a problem. I would agree with you, Randy, earlier in the season. I'm not so sure it's the case now. This team does seem to come out with a little bit more fire in its belly, especially in that opening drive they had this past Sunday against the Bears. Chanel says, how could we say anything negative after that game, but we still need to stop the run and work on our own run game? Chanel, you're 110% correct. I think those are the two biggest single areas of need for this team. You've got to have to figure out a way to toughen up the middle of that Patriots defense. And then if you're going to win this game next Sunday, you got to try to keep the ball somehow out of Manning's hands. You need to win time of possession. Run game would certainly get you there. JD says, run D isn't as important when you're three touchdowns behind. No question about that. And he says, no trade for Pats. I'm expecting a contract extension for Revis to quiet the fans. That probably will end up what's happening. Probably. Kyle says, John, love the program. I have a nitpick for the past couple of seasons. Where are the throwback uniforms? Good question, Kyle. You know, team can wear them what? I think you can wear them up to twice a year. Is that not correct? I believe that's correct. But we just haven't seen them pull them out in a while. So I'm not sure that, in fact, I don't know of any plan for them to bring them out this year. I don't know if that can change or not. I think you have to give the NFL advance notice on that. But I'll mention that to Fred. Maybe he could shed some light on that. I'm not aware of any plans to do that. Megan tweeted, she says, I think the one trade the Patriots needed to go get is Oakland and get Tuck. Seems to be the consensus slightly, Tuck over Vincent Jackson of Tampa if you had a favorite pick or a needy pick for the Patriots to take before the deadline, which is now 13 minutes away. Just a sampling of everything that's on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster, again, the Twitter handle. On Facebook, Blarco from Los Angeles says, Nitpick Tuesday. Hard to nitpick after that performance, but here's my list. Julian Edelman's drops, goal line offense on the second drive, Brian Stark's fumble and penalties. And then he says, the rotation of Marcus Cannon, the one that gets on my nerves the most. Yesterday, Bill said he deserved to play. Why? I don't get Mike Reese's speculation that it could have something to do with Sebastian Vollmer's incentives. In other words, the Pats would have to pay $2 million more in incentives if Vollmer plays 90% of the snaps. Vollmer's currently played about 89.2%. Is that a coincidence? Well, I know that Mike Reese wrote about that on ESPNBoston.com. Can't help but think that, you know, there might be something to that. I mean, this team has done this kind of thing in the past. They've been very aware of what contract incentives are. Call them cheap, call them whatever you want, but they have done this kind of thing in the past. I hope that that's not the case. Cannon does deserve to play tackle more than he does guard. I certainly will give you that. Edwin, Nitpick Tuesday, Julian Edelman's dropsies. Yeah, well, I agree with that. Edwin's in Vegas, and he says, on a positive note, Brady's only 268 passing yards away from passing John Elway for fifth place on the all-time NFL QB by total career passing yards list. That'll be kind of fun if he could get that done against Elway's former team. I would agree with that, Edwin. That's a good point by you. Charles says, John, Patriots got to make a trade for the offense. Can't just trust Gronk to stay healthy for the entire year. He hasn't done it. When healthy, he's a game changer. But on the off chance he stays healthy, wouldn't it be great to have Vincent Jackson stretching the field as well? If the Pats want home field, they have to win this week. They sure do. Paul says, John, great win at the weekend. I thought first half was the best, most complete half of football we've played in a long time. Having said that, since it is Nitpick Tuesday, here goes. Running between the tackles. When the game was a contest, I thought we struggled at it. They looked better when bouncing to the outside, but downhill running wasn't great. Penalties, Stork in particular was a culprit. And then three, Jimmy G. Bill said he needs reps in game time, so I felt he could and should have had longer to play in this one. Interesting nitpick. Very interesting. Kyle writes from, I think this is Japan. John, in response to your defer or not defer question that I wrote about today in the View from Above column, he says, I defer at home. I say defer at home when your 12th man is amped up and ready to make some noise right away. On the road, there are potential benefits and drawbacks to both choices, but I guess just choose the option that best sets up your team to take the opponent's 12th man out of the game immediately. With our offense right now, I say take the ball first, especially on the road. And he says, as for my nitpick, it bothers me when I hear people in the media getting on Edelman's case of the drops. There were too many, but they were uncharacteristic and absolutely won't continue. All right, interesting that you feel that positively about him, Kyle, and thank you. Daryl says, nitpick is the energy on defense in the second half. No excuse for letting the Bears sniff the end zone at all. Got to play all out on every down from here on out. Benjamin, nitpick, run game, stopping the run, can't contain the tight ends, two field goals to end the game, hit them touchdowns, no real pass rush, more coverage than winning one-on-one in the goal line defense, and two-point conversions. Oh, he came up with a nice laundry list there. Benjamin, thank you for that. Hard to disagree with any of them, I'll give you that. He says Edelman needs his groove back. Minitron, where are you? He does need to get back to that mindset, I think, a little bit. That's a good point. One of the things that I did want to point out today that we just kind of lost time in taking all the phone calls, the fact the Patriots are honoring, this is the 10th anniversary of the third Super Bowl championship. And so the Patriot players that have won three Super Bowl rings, 22 players won three Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. And this is the 10th anniversary coming up this week. They're going to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the third Super Bowl championship and the 22 players who won three rings. 18 of those 22 players will be here at Gillette this Sunday for the Patriots and Broncos. So I think that's pretty cool that they've decided to do that for a big game, big audience, network television involved. 22 players won three rings with the Patriots, were a part of all three Patriots Super Bowl teams. 18 of those players will be able to make it back here on Sunday. Joanne Druzzi, Tom Ashworth, Troy Brown, Teddy Bruschi, Matt Chatham, Gerard Cherry, Kevin Falk, Ted Johnson, Ty Law, Matt Light, Willie McGinnis, Stephen Neal, Patrick Pass, David Patton, Lonnie Paxton, Roman Pfeiffer, and yes, Richard Seymour. Wonder if he has any eligibility left and would he suit up to play in the second half. Ha! The guys that are not available. Well, obviously Tom Brady. He's playing. Colts kicker Adam Vinatieri, still playing. And then Larry Izzo, who's a coach with the Giants. Mike Vrabel, who's a coach with the Texans. And Adrian Clem, who's a coach at UCLA. Active staffs won't be able to make the festivities this weekend. But the other, I think it's 17 players, not 18, 17 players from the Super Bowl teams listed are expected to be in attendance, which I think is kind of cool. Drew in Bowie says, John, nitpicks, I agree with you about not punching it in on first and goal as well as having to throw rather than run out the clock. As this was my first NFL game in person, my biggest nitpick was that after an outstanding first half and halftime, the cheerleaders chose more conservative, warmer costumes in the second half. That's great. I love it. And by the way, a couple of them were just unbelievable, weren't they, Drew? That's a good nitpick. Tim says, what is our cap space this year? Are we set to make only one trade, if any, or can we possibly get two? We got roughly, I think, 12 to 15 in cap space, I think. As much as we need pass rush, we could use Martin as well. I know this is wishful thinking, however, to get both Martin and Tuck. I don't think that you'd ever see that because I know that they want to carry some of that over for next year's needs. As we talked about with Eric Franz earlier in the program today, the needs are still many. And there's a couple of guys that you need to consider heavily for next year in terms of re-signing, possibly, and avoiding free agency with. Brian in Vermont. Man, tweeted you the other day that I didn't envy you the job of nitpicking the last game because I thought the last game was good. Wasn't meant as an insult. No response, though. Harumph. Oh, no, don't worry about it, Brian. I read everything. Anyway, I'd say pass rush or running back is probably the position of need. There's an though, here's an amusing thought. I'd like to see them take a flyer on Hafþór Bjornsson if they could get him. 6'9", 419-pound murder machine. He plays the mountain in the Game of Thrones. Oh, wow. Imagine that guy on the defensive line. Otherwise, find some free defensive end or find a running back you can pick up. So I'm assuming you'd be in the Tuck camp, if not the Doug Martin camp. Felix in Houston says, first time listening to you live this season. Well, thank you, Felix. I appreciate your taking the time. I have a new job. It makes it really hard for me to listen in live, but I do listen to the podcast on my commute home. Well, thank you, Felix. I appreciate your dedication. Just thought I would share that in light of my new job. My wife is pregnant with our third kid. We should be buying our first house by next year. Congratulations. Welcome to Middle America, my man. Hope you can stay there. And that'll be today's soap opera Politico announcement for the day. Okay, back to business. You have been doing an extremely good job with the show. I know this isn't going to sit well with fans, but a player I'd be inclined to take from free agency would be Richie Incognito. Guy's just mean and nasty and someone who's perfect for a right guard. I would love Vincent Jackson with him and LaFell on the outside and Edelman and Gronk, even Tim Wright inside, like you said. Very Denver-ish. Appreciate that, Felix. Good points. Christopher, John, I'm really wanting to nitpick his play lately, and that's Julian Edelman. I don't see the targets, which tells me he's not running routes correctly. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It also means that other guys may be finally getting their routes down. And let's also suggest the last two games he's had problems holding on to the ball. Then let's see. What's wrong with the token short slot receiver, Jag? Oh, wait, I answered my own question. Practice makes perfect. LaFell, Gronk are now the guys, and he's becoming the Jag he was always. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. He says, trades, I want that tackle from the Rams, Kendall Langford. Another's Justin Tuck, and we know what he brings to the table. Do not give us the Tampa trash. That's Christopher in Hamilton, Ontario. Thank you, Christopher. Rick in Louisville. I'm not sure what a caller was talking about. We scored 43, 37, 27, and 51 without a Vincent Jackson, but are minus our best pass rusher. It's a no-brainer that Justin Tuck should be the Patriots' top choice of the players that might be available. And we now have about 3 minutes left before the trading deadline is complete. Kev, as we look at Twitter, we haven't seen anything at all, have we? I don't think, I mean, nothing, which tells me it's been pretty quiet. Usually you see rumors of trades or that so-and-so is, you know, talking to somebody or something might be consummated, but you have to announce it to the league even if you don't have all the details final. That's what has to beat the 4 o'clock deadline. Nothing. Jeff says, great show today, looks, as always.
Looks like something might have just come through for me and Rappaport, though.
All right. Follow up on that.
It says the Bucs are looking to try to finish up a trade to send linebacker Jonathan Casillas to the Patriots.
Seriously. Jonathan Casillas.
So not Vincent Jackson.
All right. So not Jackson, but some help on the defensive side.
Now, that's not confirmed yet. That's just a report that Rappaport is getting from a source.
So let's give Ian Rappaport from NFL Network the credit there. Former beat reporter for the Boston Herald, by the way, before he joined the NFL Network.
People are having fun now. That's come out in the last, 90 seconds. People are tweeting, the Tampa Bay Bucs, the official AAA team of the New England Patriots.
Well, I just had an email that says, I don't want any more Tampa Bay trash. All right, we'll keep an eye on that. But Casillas, a potential possibility from Tampa to come to New England at linebacker. Jeff says, thanks for keeping us updated on the trade deadline. I like the V-Jax possibility due to the ever-present possibility of Gronk's injuries coming back up, but I'd rather go with Tuck because of the lack of pass rush. Brian says, forgot to mention, I know it's Nitpick Tuesday, but I want to say how awesome it is to have the Don Jordan, Matthew Slater tandem on special teams. Agreed. That has been outstanding for the Patriots this year. Flint and Atlanta. Really nice to see them blow the carbon out this week. The offensive line starting lineup is the key. Watch out because Tom's just settling in. But my nitpick is I don't need to see Shane Vereen run the ball in short yardage anymore. No time to wait for a hole to develop. Someone needs to either slam it in there or go up and over the top, and his vote is for Jonas Gray. Gabe says, John, not looking for V-Jax. We need a player to jack up the opposing quarterback more like it. I agree. Tuck would be my pick. Nitpick, we need someone else in the middle besides Collins. Ding, 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 ding. Well, there you go. You might get your wish, Gabe, if Casillas is the guy from Tampa, again, as Ian Rappaport has just tweeted. Aaron says, Rook, been waiting weeks to ask this, but is there any chance the matchup with Denver gets flexed to primetime? No. 4:25 it is. It's in. CBS balked on that one. They weren't giving that up to NBC. No way. Chad, the only nitpick to me is J-Mac's up-tempo offense in the red zone. Why? Because Stork and Gray really struggled with it, and that cost us touchdowns. I'm all for confronting the young rookies to these situations, but not on the goal line. That's a good one. That's a real good one, in fact. Tim says, what is their cap space? Oh, I think I answered that one already. Throwbacks. Jeff, yeah, said, mentioned the throwbacks. We'll try to ask Fred that question tomorrow. Was there anything else that I had to get in here? I thought there was. Oh, yeah. Really quickly. I got just a couple of minutes left here, but let's squeeze in Andy in Vermont. Hey, Andy, what's up?
Hey, Dane Fletcher. We talked about it last week. That'd be my pick to go to work for. I think he's a logical choice. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I think Fletcher would have been. And his name was one of the 18 that we had on our initial list a week ago when we were, counting down the trade deadline. But, you know, while Fletcher would come in and certainly know the defense, sounds like the one Tampa linebacker they're picking up here may be Casillas.
Yeah, and Field Yates is confirming that report that it is going to happen. He says definitively it is happening.
All right, so there you go. The Patriots are picking up Casillas from Tampa Bay. Does it say for a pick or a draft pick? Does it
say? Announced that yet.
They have announced what the Patriots' compensation will be.
And I thought last year's rookie, first or second round, Marcus Hunt, really upside talent for defensive end, playing with the Bengals. I don't know if the Bengals would let him go, but I'd work towards a guy like that in a trade. For sure.
Well, something they perhaps can try to work on in the offseason if he is worth it, as you say. I'm going to give the final word to Noel in Denver. Hello, Noel.
Hey, guy. How you doing, John?
Good, buddy.
Hey, real quick, I don't have a real great nitpick. I had it before the game started. I wanted to pick up somebody on defense. I don't ever know what happened to Alan Branch or not, but I picked the Patriots to win that game 41-17. I was pretty darn close there.
You were.
I don't have a problem with our offense at all. I think as long as we shore up our defense, we'll be fine. And my prayer every night is to have Gronk stay healthy and we'll make it to the Super Bowl.
Well, that's why I think the question of picking up extra offense as an insurance policy, you know, was out there today. Now, let me ask you this. How are you going to survive this week as a Patriots fan in the Mile High City?
I'm going to wear my Brady shirt every day and my Patriot hat to the supermarket, to the gym, to everywhere I go. I love it.
Nice.
They're not very thick-skinned around here. I won't even get a response when I do that. That's what's so crazy. if I did that in New York, they'd kill me, right?
Yeah, well, no. Maybe not in New York, but maybe in Philly they would.
Yeah, Philly definitely. No question about that one. My neighbor's an Eagle fan across the way, and we were talking the other day. He says, yeah, I love living here in Denver. He says, you look at somebody in the eye in Philly, and they want to fight you. He says, here they just say hello to you.
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true.
Thanks a million for taking my call. I'm excited about this game coming up, and I'm great to hear we're doing something on defense.
Yes, sir. Good stuff. Thank you. All right, Noel in Denver gets the last word. So, again, as we've had reported initially by Ian Rappaport from NFL Network and then seconded by Field Yates. Field Yates, who is a contributor here inside the Patriots playbook, now with ESPN and ESPN.com as an NFL insider. It looks like Casillas coming linebacker from Tampa and the compensation to be determined. So make sure you keep it tuned here to Patriots.com radio. And also, I'm sure that they'll have the updated word on that particular deal here on Patriots.com as well very, very shortly. And thanks to everybody who took part today. Our thanks as well to Eric Friends for checking in as he does on Tuesdays. Good stuff, counting down the deadline. But it's come and it's gone. The Patriots have opted for some linebacker help in the middle. Might be what they need the most. We'll be back tomorrow as we now begin to get it in earnest. And look at those Denver Broncos. That starts in the playbook tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock Eastern Time. Be here. Aloha.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.